They're very lucky. They are, of course, a member of the band Dai Dai Dai, and over the past year or so, they've launched a solo project called AW, and they've recently just released their solo debut album under that moniker. The album is called The Nerve. We have Andrew Wilson on the line joining us from, I'm pretty sure it's Tamaki Makaurau, but I'm happy to be corrected. Yep. Good morning to you, Andrew. How are we?
Morning, Jack. Zach. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
The amount of times I get called Jack.
It was Zach, but for some reason I decided to get apologies about that.
Oh, man. After that great intro I did for you, bro.
I know, it was good. Let's move on. I'm an orake in Tamaki Makaurau, to be precise. There you go. Change the subject.
Orake. Yeah. Why do I know that name? What's remarkable about orake? Are there any landmarks, any natural features?
Yeah, well, Bastion Point, Takaparafo.
That's the one. Oh my goodness. So in that area, do they educate a lot of people about Bastion Point?
Yeah, they do. I mean, my wife and son are members of the hapu Ngāti Whātua Ōrākei, so we live in the Papakāinga in the area. Mm. So where the treaty settlement happened.
Wow.
Got given back to the local hapu, so that's where we live.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm the only boy from Dunedin who lives here.
I'm not surprised.
Quite a change.
Yeah,
from where I grew up, I'll say that.
Totally, man. Yeah. Totally. Now, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the historian Claudia Orange. She wrote the book, it's called The Treaty of Waitangi. It's a really good explainer about the treaty, and it's got a lot of colonial history in it. And in that book, she has an anecdote about her dad being in the Ministry for Native Affairs back in the day when it was called that, and orake, she watched, she was with her dad watching policemen, like, burn down Māori housing because the Queen was coming through, and they were, like, huts and stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's Ōkahu Bay. So, the park, which is there, which is beautiful, but it's all under Ngāti Whātua land now, that's where the old pa used to be, and then in the 50s they burnt the marae and everything and all the houses, and it's pretty sad, and booted everybody up to the hill. So where we live now on Kupe Street is affectionately known as Boot Hill because everyone got booted up here in the 50s.
True.
But what's pretty cool was everyone stayed here, so really awesome area to live. But it's also quite a Orake is, Araki is also the richest neighbourhood in New Zealand as
really?
Well. So, yeah. So it's quite weird. There's like two diametric polar opposite parts of the city, really. So, it's a really interesting place to live.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, that's nuts. That's nuts.
Yeah.
I want to start talking about, I guess, the new album. On the Instagram post that announced the record, you posted a photo of a SingStar microphone. And I want to know, did you just happen to be playing much SingStar recently? Or did you use that microphone in the
podcast? No, that's the microphone we used.
Really?
For the vocals. I think I see if I have it around. Actually, I don't. I'm going to scrum around on Zoom with you. But this is a SingStar mic. Like you obviously change the interface and you just plug in the microphone in for it. So that's the vocal mic.
Wow. That's are you going to use it live? Do you use it live?
No. I haven't thought about it. Maybe I should.
You should.
Yeah.
Hand some out in the crowd and they can sing along with you.
Exactly.
Oh, crack up. So what about that microphone did you find so good for a lo-fi project? Like, is it just naturally kind of,
I'd love to take credit for it, but Stephen Neville, who recorded the record and played drums on the album, he's been using it for a long time. So he was just like, I think this would sound really good, and it did. And then I bought my own SingStar mic since and done the same thing. Awesome. It sounds really chill.
Do you have a PS2 to go with the SingStar?
I don't have a PS2, but yeah.
You'll have to get one and maybe put that at the gig, and you can have a whole gaming zone.
Yeah, two.
Oh my gosh. This thing is it's a lo-fi project. The Nerve is a lo-fi album. It's you know, rough around the edges. The guitars can be really fuzzy, but it suits a lot of the somber themes that you find throughout the record. Do you find that recording lo-fi stuff makes an album easier to produce? Is there a kind of lo-fi that you're trying to hone in on that actually takes a while to perfect?
I mean, I wouldn't really say that we set out to, like, do a lo-fi record or anything. I think it was more just like and I said this with the first EP, like, we kind of went into it with no expectations, and you know, I just turned up with my bass guitar at Stephen's studio, which we kind of, it's a standardized practice space, and he's got the front room and we kind of practice in the main room. And then it just kind of just evolved like that, really. And then, you know, we've got the I really love using tape, and I think that that's kind of quite important to use now, especially with the way of the world and, you know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, it just, we just kind of, and then, like, what I love about working with Stefan is, like, there's no, like, let's not try and do this a million times. So everything you're hearing is the first take, so that's quite cool.
Oh, awesome. So,
yeah.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. That's good, because it doesn't sound like janky at all. It sounds like you guys rehearsed and, or I don't know, it sounds very well put together.
Yeah, thank you. But I think people would be shocked how limited and I mean, this is kind of, yeah, how not much thought had actually been put into, like, the actually doing of it, but we just did it, and then that's kind of it.
True.
Yeah.
So you mentioned before that you use tape. We're talking about magnetic tape here, correct?
Two inch quarter tape on the reel-to-reel. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And why that and not like a digital audio kind of vibe? What's good about tape?
Well, I mean, it sounds really nice, and then also it means that you can't cheat.
Mm.
Like,
true.
Yeah.
True.
You can't, like, and I learned this a lot with Dododai. A lot of, because there's a couple of Dododai albums where, like, we can only play live half of the record, because you can basically sing what you want and then edit it and blah 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 blah, and then you can't perform it live. Whereas with tape, you, what you're hearing is what you do, so you can pretty much do, you have to do it. Yeah,
true.
So really, keeps you really honest.
Yeah. Yeah, it keeps you grounded, one might say.
Grounded, bro, exactly.
And it feels like this is a very grounding album. I mean, since I heard your Simple Songs EP that came out last year, it seems like you've embarked on a bit of a self-reckoning with the solo project. On that EP, we had the track One Blind Night, which is about feeling like a bit of an underachiever. And on this album, we get tracks like Thief of Joy, Old Boy, The Nerve, Decent Prey, which all sound like someone making sense of themselves, their mistakes, and where they're headed. Do you think that's a fair assessment of the work you're kind of making under this solo moniker?
Yeah, well, a little bit. I mean, a lot of the songs, I guess, are a lot more personal, I guess. Like, you know, I've got no... I mean, I put up all the lyrics and everything, which I've never done before, because I kind of like... Well, A, I'm old. And B, you know, it's kind of like, it is what it is.
I want to say I appreciate you for putting the lyrics up. I noticed that, and it was great to read along and listen along.
Thank
as well.
You.
What do you think of the lessons or thoughts about yourself that you sort of gained after doing a lot of what seems like, you know, a pretty deep reflection? Are you someone who needs help, as you allude to on the track Moment? You know, have you kind of thought about that?
Well, I'm a very active person who, like, tries to examine their own toxic behaviours. I'll put that much in it.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a long time. But, like, a lot of the songs, like, say, Old Boy, for example, is not about me. That's about a friend of mine who had a drug overdose. And
sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no, hey, you know. Just these sort of things. It's not all just the Andrew show. Sometimes there's other meanings behind the songs.
That's
and then true. Song titles I've always really struggled with. So usually they might have nothing. The song titles might have nothing to do with the actual song.
Very, very fair. There's a somewhat ironic track here for an album that's characterised by its sort of railing guitars, and the song's called, of course, I Hate Guitars, where you say, I still hate the sound of guitars, they remind me of who we are. You know, what sort of symbolic value do guitars hold on the song for you?
Well, I mean, I think that's more just to do with, like, the idea. I mean, Fugazi have a really great lyric, which is like, I still hate the sound of the guitars, you know, but it's more to do with, like, making sure that, like, you know, this is something which I've really loved doing, and I kind of, like, have been doing guitar music since I was, you know, 13, 14 years old. Mm. And it kind of reminds me of who I am every time I pick up a guitar or get grounded in it, you know. And it's something I never thought I would do. Mm. So I'm pretty lucky that I got touched by... I mean, maybe I shouldn't stop saying that now, because that's, like, what... quite a while ago now.
True.
Hope that makes sense.
So you don't hate guitars, you love guitars.
Exactly.
I'm glad to hear, man. Your son Awathea wrote the track on here, Water the Vampires, which is a very, very sweet joint. What's it like kind of bringing that story to life, and why do you want to incorporate it on the album?
Well, that was like me just recording the song when he was having a bath. And he was just singing along while I was playing guitar, but I was just hitting record.
Oh, it's so cute.
So then, I mean, that's an interesting take, because, like, I had the voice memo from my phone, so then we had to transfer it to the tape. So then that's kind of like that's the digital recording. Yeah. So then that goes digital, analog, back to digital. Yeah,
that's so good. How do you find, like, throughout the process of recording this album compared to, you know, Die Die Die, which is, you know, way more people on board? Because on this thing you're doing guitar, bass and keyboard as well?
Keyboard's only on the... So there's hardly any keyboards, but there's only the one keyboard song.
True. But I mean, that's quite a different setup to what it's like for Die Die Die. So do you have a preference at all?
I mean, I probably personally prefer to do Die 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 in the sense that, like, there's a lot less pressure when you are working with other people. Mm. And, I mean, I love those guys and they're very, very talented. However, you know, I don't live in their back pockets anymore. Like, we spent, you know, at least 15 years of our lives being in a van touring around together. But I do think, with that being said, sorry, there's a lot of contradictions and I said, like, I hate guitars. You know, it is really cool to be able to kind of go, hey, here's totally what I want to do. And that's where I think, like, Stefan, who's the guy who recorded it, did the drums, you know, he does not, you know, if it sounds good, he'll just, like, that's it, move on, kind of thing. Whereas with Die Die Die, I think he kind of overdo things.
Yeah. Well,
in the past, we've had a chance of overdoing things.
Yeah. No, that. Just
I mean, harmony. Yeah. The harmony song, which you talked about at the start, like, there's a lot of, that took a lot of time to get finished.
Mm. Well, you can tell why, because that song is like, there's so many different moving parts to that song, you know.
Yeah. And there's a lot of guitars. There's a lot of guitars on the harmony.
If you guys ever do that live in Dunedin, I will be there in a heartbeat. My goodness.
Yeah.
Well, speaking about Dunedin, though, you are coming to Ōtepoti to play at the Crown on Saturday, the 21st of March. You've got another to-be-confirmed gig the day after. How are you feeling about coming down to home for a show?
Yeah, I'm really excited. So there is a show, the to-be-confirmed gig at Pioneer Hall.
Oh, cool.
On the 22nd. I'm so excited to come back. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Crown is so, I love that place in Jones, and, you know, these are people I've known for a very long time, and places which are really special to me.
Yeah, it should be real sweet. When was the last time you were down here?
Dad and I played the Waitati Music Festival in 2020, just before COVID.
Whoa, so 5 years?
Yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah,
oh, man, crazy, that's nuts!
Yeah, I know.
No wonder you don't do shows.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's been, I can't believe it's been so long, but I was down there for a family wedding last March.
Oh, cool.
So that was, and then, but I hadn't been back to Dunedin for like a really long time, the longest time of my life.
True. My life.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of any good restaurants that have opened up since you've left. We can talk about that more off here.
That's good. I love this, though. Zach, this is great. Keep going. This is awesome.
I'm glad you like it.
Yeah.
Have you got much else on the horizon for 2026? Can we expect another album under the AW moniker, since they seem to be, the writing might take ages, but the recording's pretty fast.
Yeah. Steph and I started recording some stuff in November. But now I'm band practicing with Dada Dai because we're playing Portnoy's in February.
Oh, man.
And obviously the AW, we've got that tour, so I've got quite a limited amount of time between parenting, working, and now band practicing for two bands. Try and finish the songs. Yeah.
True. Well, hopefully we can see some more stuff maybe at the end of the year or in 2027.
Yeah, totally.
You know.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a silly question. Did you have a New Year's resolution as well?
I didn't. I always break them. But also, like I said, I was pretty sick at New Year's, so I wasn't really thinking about it.
True. New Year's resolution? To get healthy.
I'll have a think about it. TBC, yeah.
All right, thank you for coming on the program and chatting to me about the new album, man. I really appreciate it. Do you have any final thoughts, words, considerations for our lovely listeners out there?
I was just thinking about the sound of hating guitars. I think I was meaning I hate the traditional sound of the guitars. I think that was kind of more what I was going for, but I didn't answer that at the right time. That's been plaguing me now. I've always liked interesting sounds of guitars.
Do you mean like just plain acoustic, nothing else going on?
No, I do like plain acoustic, but more just to think like traditional annoying electric guitars.
Kind of bland rocky guitars.
Yeah, yep. The darkness. Yep. You know?
Yeah.
And hate that shit. Yeah. Anyway.
It's one of the most versatile instruments of all time.
It is very versatile. You gotta treat it the way you want to do it.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, thank you very much for coming on the program, man. I really appreciate it. And can't wait to see you in March. It's gonna be exciting.
Awesome. Cheers, bro.
Take care. All right, folks, that was Andrew Wilson from Da Da Da. We're talking to Andrew about the new album that he's put out under his solo moniker, AW. The album is called The Nerve. You can find it on Bandcamp or wherever else you find your tunes. We're going to play the track Decent Prey from this album, so I'm looking forward to playing that. Here is AW. Oh, that's not nice. AW, Andrew Wilson, with his track Decent Prey on The One. Hold up, actually. We're going through some technical difficulties over here on The One. Let me just, we're all good to go now. Here's Decent Prey by Andrew Wilson.
More of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.